The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the Knapsack Files Studios in Studio City, California, this is Life Ranked on the Knapsack Files podcast feed. I'm Ken Knapsack. The show concept is pretty simple. I bring in someone near and dear to me, and I talk about something that's close to their heart, something they're passionate about, something they know well and intimately, and I ask them to rank it in a one through five order. We'll go over it five through one. That's what we do here, and I react. I don't know. I know the topic. I don't know the list, and we dive on in. So it is with great honor that I welcome back Lon Harris to the Knapsack Files Studios.
The pleasure is all mine.
You were on a couple weeks ago on the Knapsack Files proper.
Sure, yes.
Nice interview. We got deep on digital media and James Gandolfini's improv tendencies and a lot more. If you haven't checked it out, go back and listen to that episode. But Lon, we remarked in that episode that you and I did not get a chance to really dive into our tendencies as lonely men.
We did not, no.
We did not, which I was proud of us for not doing that.
It's good. It's usually a good go-to for me. So it's nice that we managed to sort of dance around.
My whole career has been built on the fact that I'm a lonely person. So we didn't go over there, so why not go over it in Life Ranked? And that is why
talk about it now.
I brought you in to talk about the top five best reasons to die alone.
And let me tell you, how lovely to have someone immediately think of this topic when they think of you. To be like, well, that's a guy who's definitely dying alone, so let's bring him in.
The topic came to my head, and I said, who could make this work? Yeah. Oh, definitely
who's
this man.
Fated to end up by himself? Lon, of course. I'll have him come by.
Hey, look, we'll start with a positive note. Life could change in a moment. You know,
you
could head to the grocery store tonight to pick yourself up a frozen TV dinner that you're going to take home, and then you could meet your wife. You know?
Yeah.
If that's what you're looking for, you know?
Sure. It could theoretically happen.
Yeah. In theory.
I feel like I'm actually, it's weird that you say that, because, and we'll get into the list, but I am now at the weird, like, I'm at divorcing age. Like, I just recently entered, like, first divorce age. Not me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not married.
But our dating pool.
Right. A lot of the other people my age are now experiencing their first divorce, possibly of many. So there were a few years there, like my last real serious relationship ended when I was 35.
Okay.
And I had this feeling of like no one my age is single. Like no one in their mid. This is when everybody's coupled up. They're having they probably had the first kid, second kid's maybe coming or on the way. They're maybe starting to doubt their life choices.
Sure.
But they have not yet. They're still together.
Yeah. That's a weird spot to be in though, right? Because I'm now 40 and I am the last of the Mohicans in most of my friend group.
Well, I feel like you're now in that pocket with me of like, once you get to like mid-40s, marriage two is underway. And then you're going through another long, dark period.
So the
next tunnel.
the next tunnel.
And then,
tunnel,
you know, the light comes up at like 60 when it's like, well, everybody's significant other has now dropped.
and we're here to pick up those scraps.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a weird spot to be in. It definitely is a weird spot to be in. So, I believe in my heart that I'm destined to die alone. I have the plan in place. I've mentioned
you don't need to plan. That's the bet. That's maybe number one. I didn't even think about it. Maybe number one is like it requires zero planning. Just going to happen one day, whether you plan for it or not.
Well, the scenario is set. I know I have a really good friend, Paul. I'm probably going to end up living in his garage. He and his wife.
This does not sound like a dying alone place. It sounds like a dying surrounded by love.
Yeah. Well, and then they have a daughter, and I know that I'm like her uncle. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm glad that's where we went.
Yeah, no, like I'm like her uncle.
Okay.
And so I know that like her and her husband down the line, years from now, they're going to come deliver me a bowl of soup in the garage and find me dead on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'll have been dead for maybe 3 days and watching Robotech reruns on Netflix or something.
The fact that it's Robotech makes that so much more sad to me for some reason. Like, if you had picked any other show, I'd be like, well, listen, we all die. But the fact that it's Robotech, I'm like, yeah, man, that's grim.
That's grim.
That's a grim vision.
I just know that's the end. That's what's coming my way. So,
I think, honestly, the idea that you would be living in someone else's house with their family is really, that's really comforting. Like, that's kind of nice.
It's a good way to look at it, Lon.
I mean, you've got, it's better than being, like, totally alone, isolated.
True.
Like, you're not in, like, some apartment, some, like, Scandinavian apartment complex, you know, like, grand.
And like the mailman.
Yeah, like you've got the corner so nobody really smells you for a while.
Is that where you're headed?
It's like the landlord figures it out. Mr. Nykvist. I don't know why they go immediately to like, that's how a Swedish movie is. I don't know. I mean, in some ways I feel like I recognize that I'm a difficult person to like live with and be around.
Right.
But at the same time, like I as a kid or like as a sort of adolescent and when other people were first getting into like relationships, I was sort of like, I'm never gonna be good at this. And, like, I'm good at being in a relationship.
Oh, okay.
I'm good at like the middle part. I'm not good at the beginning and the end part, but I'm very good at the middle part.
That's my part is definitely I'm bad at the beginning.
I'm terrible at the beginning.
Bad at the end.
I'm bad at meeting people. I'm bad at the whole like, I kind of like you. You kind of like me, dance. Like once I can get to like date 3.5,
sure.
Date 4,
you're good.
Nailing it.
You're good.
Then I'm coasting. Then I'm good. And then once you hit that point of like, oh, we might break up. There's a problem here that I don't know how to solve. From then on, I get abysmal again. I have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I think that my anxiety, like when I'm anxious about something that's just me, it's manageable because it's like, oh, what if I lose that job and I have to get another job? And I'll get nervous. And I'll feel shitty, but it doesn't affect anybody outside my own head.
Right.
Like 2 weeks later, I'll be like, oh, I'll figure it out, and it goes away. But when you're anxious and there's another person who's part of the anxiety, you're like bringing them into it with you, and that's the worst. Nobody likes that.
That's
a relationship killer for sure. As if you start fretting and you start second guessing yourself and you start like being weird and saying things you probably shouldn't say because you're nervous and you're freaking out.
That's where
it's bad.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, that's how these things.
Because I just don't. I can't communicate my emotions that well when I'm in relationships. I think it ends bad with me just kind of jumping out of the plane without a parachute.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, right. And I mean, I think that's part of it, like, because that's what anxiety is at root. I don't remember who said this. I read somebody who said this one time, and it's the best best situation, best explanation I've ever heard, which is it's like being tied to the train tracks and the train's coming and you hear the train, but there isn't a train. You're just walking around with that all the time.
Okay.
And it's like a fight or flight. It's your fight or flight impulse that gets like screwy. That's what causes anxiety, like sort of on a root level, I believe.
Right.
If your chemistry is all weird. And so you get that like adrenaline, like I got to run. Like there's a panther, but there's no panther. Like you're generally pissed off about your life situation is the panther.
Makes sense. It's going deep.
Right. So, because it's fight or flight, when you're in a relationship and the relationship is what's causing you anxiety, the immediate thing is like, I got to get out of this relationship. That's the way to feel better is to be out of this relationship. Right. Because the train's barreling down. The train is the relationship. I got to get out of the way of this relationship before it flattens me.
Yeah.
But then you get out of it and you realize I was being an idiot. The relationship, there was nothing nerve-wracking or making me anxious about the relationship. Now I'm alone and it's way worse.
Way worse.
I don't feel like a train's bearing down on me. I just feel like the weight of the world is bearing down.
Love is a panther. So that's where Lon and I are. And I'm at the time of this recording, you know, I'm going to release it a couple weeks later. I'm just going to assume we're in the same position in life. So sans love, sans relationship. So,
I'm not currently in a relationship,
No. Definitely
safe
not.
Safe
to assume myself as well. So Lon, let's dive in. Start with reason number 5, the top 5 reasons to die alone.
I'm gonna go ahead and say you only really understand pet ownership when you are alone and live alone. Like when you have a pet, I know there are people who have pets in their family and they're like, he's a part of the family. And like, yeah, you love him and you take care of him and stuff. But it's still like humans collectively get together.
Sure.
We're a team. And so if we're all on a team and there's a dog, we're like, we're the human. We're in charge. But when it's just you and a dog or a cat, it only takes like 2 weeks for it to become like totally even.
We are on
the same level of this relationship.
Even
like
deal.
A dog can kick its human roommate off of the couch. No problem. Like,
right. In a family, it has not.
A family, it's like, it's movie night. But when you're alone, it's like, nope, it stops being a dog almost right away. And it becomes your roommate. And I think you don't get that.
Right, right.
And you know, like, the greatest example of this is ladies who, single ladies who have birds.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Nobody outside can understand the weird connection.
To the bird.
Like, why does this woman have, like, these large, loud, they shit everywhere, they're expensive, they live for, like, 100 years, and it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's like that, they live with that bird like you live with a person.
So if you're dying at a wonderful long 50 years of marriage, you never got to experience this.
You never really, you had a dog in your house. I'm sure you loved him and took him for walks and everything, but you never had that relationship, which I assume is where like the whole idea of keeping a dog came from, which was lonely cavemen.
It needed an
companion. And they were like, this wolf is trying to eat me, but I bet if I hang out with it every day, it'll be my friend.
I bet if I feed it. It'll
hang out in my house, and I won't feel like I'm alone all the time.
Do you own animals now?
You know, I don't have a dog right now. I have. I've had many dogs.
Sure.
I've had one cat. I've had many dogs. Well, yeah. I still take. I still take care of my ex's dog a lot that we shared when we were together.
Okay. And
he lives with her, but she has a job where she's gone a lot, and she's leaving him in this kennel, and so I take him instead. So I feel weird about getting a new dog.
You're like Walter Sobchak from Big Lebowski.
Like, but I feel weird about getting a new dog because, like, every other week I have this other dog in my house, and it would be like these two dogs.
There's some psychological stuff going on.
Oh, my God. Is there so much to unpack there? We don't communicate, like, at all.
Really?
Other than the dog.
Other than the dog.
Like, we don't.
How long has this been going on?
We broke up a little over 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I still, and the dog, the other thing about this is sort of funny. There's two more things about it that's funny that I'll add in now.
Yeah.
One is the dog was old. Like, the dog's sort of always been old.
Right, right.
We did not think it would live this long. So this is, if I had thought about this right when the relationship ended, I'd be like, that's pretty unhealthy to spend years taking care of this dog. But I didn't know. It was always I always assumed, like, oh, I'll do this for another 6 months, and then the dog will be gone, and then we'll be going our own separate ways. But no, it ended sort of poorly. So we don't communicate really much at all except for the dog pick up and drop off
stuff. Oh, wow.
But it really is at this point, like, we share this dog. So it is sort of like having a dog. The other funny thing about this is while we were together, she's a screenwriter as well. While we were together, we came up with and wrote out an outline for a script about this exact situation.
And then it happened?
Called Custa Dog, about a couple that loves their dog so much, and then they break up, and then they, like, stay together.
Picture.
Long enough, like, they keep going back and forth, and it becomes like a War of the Roses battle over this dog. In the end of our movie, they get back together, but I don't think
it's not going to happen in this really one here. I think you could still sell that, ironically, and be tied together even in that.
Right. Yeah. You know? No. Then we'd have to write a movie together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a whole thing.
It's
a Nancy Myers
thing.
Movie waiting to happen.
But that is the number five reason.
I think that's a good
complete understanding of what it means to be a pet.
Really know what it means to have a pet. It's not just like a pet. It's like a roommate who is a dog. Or a cat. This would be true of a cat.
Or a ferret.
I don't discriminate about pets. I think even like a turtle could.
Turtle.
You could have that roommate feeling with a turtle.
Talking to a turtle late at night about life's problems.
You know what? If you are a single person and you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, like, I don't treat my dog like my roommate, you're a liar. You do. You talk to them at night when there's nobody else around. You do. You do.
Number four.
This is a relatively recent development for my single life, the Whole Foods Hot Bar. Have you experienced the Whole Foods Hot Bar, Ken?
I have experienced it, but I was in a relationship when I experienced it.
Stupid.
So I haven't experienced it.
Pointless when you're in a relationship. The worst thing about being single, in general, overall, it's not crippling loneliness.
No.
It's not going years without anyone touching you. It's ridiculous. It's cooking. It's food prep. It's the worst. Because what are you doing? You have no good choices. You can go to the supermarket and buy like a ton of food that's all going to go bad
for
you, a single person, have a chance to eat it.
Yeah.
Or you can order $40 from Postmates every night for like a bowl of poke or whatever
and a
glass of water.
Yeah.
No good. The Whole Foods Hot Bar fixes it. It's the first time I've ever really felt like somebody fixed this problem. You just go to Whole Foods on your way home. They got a bunch of cafeteria style. It all tastes good.
You
take a little bit of what you want. You put it in a fucking box. They don't even have to, like, they don't do anything. They don't look at it. Nobody judges you. You could fill that whole thing up with mac and cheese and seal it, and they just charge you whatever it weighs.
Whatever, sir. We get it.
It is amazing.
It's changed your life.
There is no technology that has come around in my life that I've reacted to the way I reacted to the Whole Foods Hub.
The Whole Foods Hub, or you want yourself a soup?
Other people are like, oh, Snapchat's so cool. I'm like, who gives a shit? VR, I don't care. I can get you a little soup. They have desserts. It's crazy.
you can really enjoy yourself.
It's like you live on a cruise ship, except you like scan your credit card when you leave.
On the way home from work.
It's perfect. And you can get exactly the right amount of food. I finish up, it's in the box. There's nothing left over. Dinner's done.
You go
I don't
home.
Have to feel like a piece of crap afterwards.
Is there those moments? I got to ask
they
you.
They put vegetables in there.
Oh, it's a well-balanced meal.
Yeah.
Are there those moments where you're preparing, you bring it home, and you're in the kitchen, you're opening up the plastic or the styrofoam box or whatever they put it in? And
it's a little, it's like cardboard.
Folded top. You're doing that.
Uh-huh.
Is there a moment where four nights out of the week, this is great, but that fifth night, you're like...
Oh, I don't. That would happen totally. Probably two nights in a row. You got to mix it up. I don't do Whole Foods Hot Bar like 7 days a week.
It's like a special. Night.
That would be depressing. No, it's not special. It's like maybe 3 out of 5 days.
Okay.
But you'll mix it. Like I don't mean to paint too dreary a picture.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while, I'll meet a friend and have a bite. It's not that desperate.
It's not that desperate.
I'll occasionally go out for a I'll order stuff. I do keep some food in my house. Oh, we'll prepare things down here. I'll tell you, the main thing is, and to sort of not be silly, cooking vegetables, I was pretty old before I really started eating a lot of vegetables.
Okay.
I ate really shitty until like my late 20s.
Gotcha.
Every day, just burgers,
right.
That's why I have this svelte, stunning figure. And then in my 30s, I was like, I can't do this big of a piece of shit for the rest of my life. So I started eating more vegetables, but I'm not good at cooking and preparing them.
Yeah.
Like, I know I could do it to like, it's edible, I won't kill myself.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste, I don't know how to make vegetables taste good to where
it's
I want to eat them. It's very hard.
Most of my vegetables come from a bag.
Well, right. So I'll do the thing of like you could buy like a big thing of like mixed greens, spinach or whatever, and just dump dressing on it and do that. I can do that.
You can do that.
But I'll eat roasted cauliflower. I just don't know how to do it.
Sure.
To where I make it to where it tastes good.
Right.
But I know I like it. So that's what's amazing about the Whole Foods Hot Bar. It's like they'll put a big thing of string beans out there and I'm like, I like these, I'll eat these. And then I'm healthy and I didn't have to figure out string beans, almondine or whatever.
You got to mention that in the confines of love is where you learn how to cook cauliflower to a good tasty level.
I've been in a few relationships in my life and nobody's real. And I'm not saying this like I'm trying to go dice clay on you. These bitches in the kitchen. Like, I just really have never been in a relationship where the format was I was coming home and there was somebody like cooking for me.
Sure. Well, I'm talking about cooking together, maybe a little fun.
Oh, like Blue Apron.
I could
probably do that. Like I'm not so dense that I could not like figure out cooking vegetables. So I really applied myself, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't want to apply myself.
No, but that's part of the reason of being alone is you come home and it's time for that meal. You want to pull the you want to poke it a few times to vent it, put it in the microwave. And cook it.
I love food. I mean, I think food is delicious I like it, but there is part of me that is like, if I could do the Soylent thing and I didn't think those tech nerds were trying to kill me.
Oh, the Soylent tastes horrible.
It tastes horrible, and I don't trust those Silicon Valley guys that are like, they don't want you to trust them. Like, oh, really? How do scientists look at this? I work for enough startups. It's bullshit. I don't believe those guys.
Yeah.
I think that some like weird nerd invented it, and like in 10 years we'll be like, well, and everybody got... Yeah. This weird disease
because
I don't trust it. But I love the idea. I love the idea of like even not all the time, but some days you can just come home, squeeze this fucking pouch of goo into yourself, and then you don't have to worry about it for the next 18 hours.
I'm good with a food pill. Like, you give me a food pill. There's nights where
I'm
so
all the
hungry,
time. I get that it's dystopian for every meal.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, if it was just like, take this pill, take a glass of water, you don't have to eat the rest of the day. Oh, it'll be amazing.
It'd be good. So
I do think that will happen in our life.
I think eventually.
I think we're on our way.
But for now, we have the Whole Foods Hot Bar. Number four on the list.
I love the Whole Foods Hot Bar.
So now number three on the list of the top five reasons to die alone.
This one's a little bit of a thinker.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we are both single men.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in my late 30s, you're in your early 40s.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe, bear with me.
Sure.
Young, beautiful women are all sneaking off to have sex with old single men and nursing homes. We wouldn't know. Here's my point. You and I wouldn't know. because we've always been who we are.
Right, right.
We've never been a beautiful young woman.
Sure.
We've never been an old man in a nursing home. That could be happening all the time. They're just not telling
they're
us.
They're just not communicating it down the line.
Exactly. And I mean, I could theoretically see it happen. Who knows? We don't know. Young women definitely occasionally will express like, oh, Sean Connery still looks great.
You know? Right. So there's still, are you saying that? Is there still hope? Is this a hopeful reason? Is this a hopeful
answer?
Yeah,
there's a reason to die alone. If you are 80 and you are with somebody and blissfully in love,
sure.
You would never know if 20-year-old women are going to show up at your nursing home and they would want to get with you. You would have no idea. You're married. They're not going to be a home wrecker.
No, they have their morals.
But if I'm single and 80 and in the same nursing home, you don't have no idea.
You might be joining a nice...
Kate Upton might be showing up there.
Right. Right.
Just like it's, or, you know, like
in our case, like Kate Upton's granddaughter.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Whoever the next three generations of Kate Upton's from now. Sure. I don't even think this generation, Kate Upton's an antiquated reference.
We got to find the next
one. That's like.
So you're saying you have your puree mac and cheese.
I'm just throwing it out there.
A glass of Ensure.
This is a hypothetical, but the only way we're ever going to find out is truly to be those old men.
This is like getting, it's like, you know, when Bono wrote the song One Step Closer because his father was dying and he didn't know if there were, you know, his father didn't know if there was a heaven, and Noel Gallagher in a conversation says, well, he's one step closer to knowing.
Yeah.
So this is that. We're one step closer to knowing, Lon.
You can't prove to me that this doesn't happen.
Right. There's no facts. Now, look, I worked in a nursing home for three years.
Oh, maybe you can prove to me this.
No.
Oh, don't tell me that this doesn't happen. I need this.
I spent all that time in the kitchen.
Right. And they
wouldn't know what happened.
And they wouldn't want you to know. They would be sneaking around. They'd be discreet about it. You know?
And any of the old men in there weren't going to tell me, a 17-year-old kitchen worker.
Of course not.
That this is,
it's part of the, it's part of what, that's part of what makes it exciting. Is that you don't know. No one knows.
No. So you all could take your relationships where you die in each other's arms at 80 on the Titanic.
If you are going to stay with the person that you love forever,
right.
Just understand that you're taking a chance. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying, listen, you're gambling that you're not going to spend your 80s just mowing, just plowing through really hot girls, like 20, like let's say 18 to like 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know. Maybe.
You don't know. You could be missing out.
You have no idea.
Oh, that's a great reason. That's a deep thinker, and it's an important one. So number two on the list. Mm.
Number two on the list is, you know, I think the realization, to get a little more serious, everybody dies alone. But,
sure.
But purposefully dying alone, it's more honest. You are embracing the fact that we all die alone rather than trying to like find somebody to be around so you can
some false pretense
delude yourself into thinking you'll be with somebody. Because when it comes down to it, you hear every once in a while those stories about like, oh, they died in each other's arms.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. On the Titanic or something.
But that's an isolated incident. Those are usually not happening. Usually it's like your wife's out shopping or whatever. You take a heart attack or you're in a car accident when you're on your way back from work or whatever. It's usually not you're going to actually die together anyway.
Right.
So everybody's the same.
So we're just accepting the fact, embracing the fact, being honest with that fact.
Yeah.
And preparing for the end that's inevitable.
Inevitably, it could happen anytime. Now is not any different than any other time.
Right.
It could be home with a family. It could be here in your apartment. And death stalks you at every turn.
The way you and I eat, possibly.
Yeah,
it could happen by the end of this show.
If
it starts to happen to you, Lon, I'll do you the favor. I'll get out and leave this door.
And let me be
I'll let you have this moment.
In those last few precious moments.
Yeah, it's an honesty thing here, and I appreciate where you're coming from.
I'm just trying to be forthright. I'm just trying to take the universe at its own terms.
Taking the universe with what it's given us.
Yeah.
That's a great one there. All right, so it's a recap here. Read back here.
Five. Truly understand pet ownership,
which is
number five.
Great thing. Four.
The Whole Foods Hot Bar. Gotta love that Whole Foods Hot Bar.
You're missing out if you don't get some Mojo potatoes.
You can enjoy that if you're in a couple, but then it's sad. Then it's two people eating out of their own individual boxes. Like, you know what? Go to the store.
Make
your significant other something. Treat them for once.
Right, for once.
But if you're on your own, you can go to town. They have like taco night there. It's incredible. Number three, maybe young, beautiful women all sneak off to have sex with old single men in nursing homes, and we just don't know about it because we're not young, beautiful women or old single men in nursing homes.
You can't disprove that.
Only one way to find out.
Yep.
Number two, we all die alone. This is just honest. This is just taking life at its own terms. And my number one, you know, now you can really experience death rather than talking through the whole thing. It's just like, you know, going to the movies when you're alone. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to go see a movie alone, but it's better.
It's better.
Then you're really focused. You're not like another person checking their phone, eating popcorn, distracting you all the time.
Yeah.
You can really like be in it and experience it.
Right.
And yet with death now, we're saying, oh, I want all these people around. Right. Oh, I love you, Grandpa, and all this. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to die here. I'm doing a thing.
I'm getting on with it.
There's like three or four memorable things that happen to you your entire life. You're born, like first day of school, meet the love of your life, get married, have kids, die. And people are just totally like, I just want to gab with about bullshit through the last one. It's ridiculous. Live in it.
So it's like what you're saying. Like I'll go to Chili's by myself. I'll pop in the bar.
Yeah.
Sit, get a seat in the corner.
Sure.
Enjoy a nice meal.
Yeah.
And I used to do that before smartphones.
It's 100% true of eating alone as well as going to movies alone. If you're eating alone, you're in that. You're just eating it.
You're experiencing it.
You've got nothing else going on right then.
You occasionally might give a polite smile to the waitress.
Right, but you know, when you meet a friend for dinner and you're gabbing the whole time, who knows what you even ate? I don't remember 10 minutes later.
Most of my favorite meals are me alone in a restaurant bar in a corner.
Yeah.
Or bringing it back to the hotel room. One of my favorite meals.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Orange County, staying in a hotel by myself.
Sure.
Went to this hole in the wall Mexican restaurant, got a burrito.
Where was this? What city? This is Anaheim.
Ooh, this is
mild stomping
near
grounds.
College Road. What is that? College Park? The road. Is that what it's called?
There is a road called College that is in Anaheim.
Yeah.
It could have been on that.
It's around that area, and I was across the street from my corporate office, and I was at a thing, but I was down there by myself, man, and I was in a hotel room on a Monday night, had a burrito, a taco. I should have stopped there. I didn't. Chips and salsa.
Love it.
A large, like, 64-ounce soda.
Yeah.
I'll die alone soon, kids.
Sure.
And it was one of the most memorable meals I've ever had.
Yeah.
It was just me and that food in that hotel room.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, there is, I'm kidding, sort of, but there is something to this, to the idea that, like, when you're just experiencing something, and it's just you, you're focused on it in a way you're just not when other people around.
Right.
I'm just taking that same concept and applying it to the moment of death. Yeah.
Like, get out of my room.
I want to see what happens, man. Maybe so. You don't know. Maybe something happens. Yeah. I don't think anything happens.
But you don't know until you get there.
I've seen the OA. There are theories. There are lots of theories.
A lot of theories.
Maybe I'm going to the starry room with an Iranian woman.
Right. You could be going to the upside down. We don't know. But you want to experience it by myself, and you don't want
just
people talking over it.
Somebody like, gab, are you all right? Can I get you a pillow? Like, you know, it's not like you're going to be talking about anything great.
Right.
They're not going to be next to me like, so have you seen 1979's Vengeance is Mine. Shohei Yamamura, it's really great. Bright colors, check out the cinematography. Sort of an early example of like what sort of Fincher's doing in Zodiac, like a procedural with a psychological element. That's not happening in your hospital room.
No.
It's like, can you hear us? Do you feel okay? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you can hear me.
Want to change the channel?
I may be cynical, but my grandfather died a few years ago. My grandmother's still alive, and towards the end, he was not getting a lot out of that. Fulfillingness of that relationship,
right? So you and I are saying,
hang out, just do your own thing.
We're already there. Is what you and I are saying. We're already there.
I'm ready,
baby.
Let's experience.
Well, that was a great list. That wasn't depressing at all, Lon. You brought some great points.
I tried to keep it, like life affirming in some small way.
If this was a listicle and a clickbait title, I'd say, number three will surprise you. And maybe we'll know.
What Disney princess do you want to die alone next to?
Number seven is shocking.
Jasmine.
So that is great. Great. I appreciate what you bring to it. And on one hand, I hope that 2 weeks from now, you'll walk into the Whole Foods Hot Bar and the love of your life will be there.
Oh, my God. That's a great meet cute location. Right. I didn't even think of that.
She'll be flopping some green beans into a bowl.
You could even call the movie Whole Foods Hot Bar.
And it may, just don't get a dog.
It is. I will say it's not a sexy place.
No,
so it's a lot of slopping around.
There's a lot, and there's no.
It's not well organized. We're not Brits, you know. Brits would queue up. It would be real neat and orderly. No. Everybody's trying to come at you from every angle. It's not. They could work on the hot bar experience.
Yeah,
but as a concept, I'm all there.
That's where it could be. I almost want that to happen, but out of respect for you and your list, I almost don't.
Yeah.
No. I want
to see if these 20-year-old girls are showing up at the nursing home.
We'll never know until we get there.
I'm just putting it out there. I just come up with these ideas.
Lon, that is great. Lon Harris. Lon's on Twitter. He is a genius in his own right. Whether it's breaking down Game of Thrones or finding reasons to die alone, that is spectacular. So follow him on Twitter and let him know what you got in. And use the hashtag TNFLifeRanked, the Knapsack Files Life Ranked. I wanted to get it more specific, changing the hashtag up a little bit. So you can list your own reasons. Do you disagree with ours? Do you have your own reasons why you think you should die alone and what they are? Let's join that conversation. Let's get into it. You can follow me at Cat Knapsack, and we'll figure it out. Like Knapsack Files on Facebook, and don't forget we have the Patreon page, and we're on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher right now. Looking on other places to put the show to as well. So those is where you can find us. Find those reasons on there, and let us know what you feel. Feel the love. Thanks, Lon, for coming in.
You got it.
We'll see you next time on Life Ranked.